when Anna was saying, I couldn't help but think of, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And that's what you were just declaring, who He is to you. Don't let your body ever forget it. Don't let your bank account ever forget it. Don't let your neighbor ever forget it. Man, who has He been to you? That'll preach on, Collins. Whew, praise God. What's represented in this room is beautiful testimonies of the power of God in the lives of what others may think are ordinary people. But they're ordinary people with access to the power of God. Amen. The name of Jesus Christ, a Savior who gave it all so that we could have life and life more abundantly. Man, if you've been healed, if you've ever received supernatural healing from God, raise your hand. I don't believe in healing. As John Birch would say, you're too late. Have you ever had God come through for you in a financial situation where there was no way? Yes. Well, I don't believe God cares about money. Look around the room. He cares about you. Have you ever been alone, felt abandoned? Have you ever been lost in your depression? And He needed to be Emmanuel, God is with us, the fourth man in the fire. I don't believe God's, you know, God cares about mental health. He's all about your mental health. He gave us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. We could, man, praise God, He's good. You know what this requires? Because it's already been provided, right? Jesus, His work is finished. It was complete. He's not going back to the cross. He's not going to be beaten again. There's not going to be another crown of thorns placed on His head. He's not going to be spit on again. He's not going to be hit in the face and mocked again. That is done. And every bit of that He did for you and me. Now our response to that love that He showed us, that grace that He had towards us, our response is faith. And you know, some people hear the word faith and they just shut you down. They're just like, I don't want any of that, blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a way of living, not a method, but a lifestyle of living, believing Him and trusting Him in our everyday life. And that's really, people, you know, when they zone out, many zone out because they think they're not worthy. Well, congratulations. None of us were worthy, but we've spent, right, months studying the righteousness that comes to us as a gift. In fact, He wants it so clear to you that He calls it the free gift of righteousness. Jesus died for me, took my sin nature for me, so that I could have right standing, righteousness with Father God, so that I could do what the scripture says and come into His presence and to the throne of grace. I could come, it says, boldly. Not disrespectfully, but boldly. You know what? We belong there. You know why? Our spirit bears witness with His spirit that we are now the children of God. So many don't use their faith because they don't think they deserve it. We got to get over that. We're not going to go back and teach what we taught for, 8 weeks or so, on the gift of righteousness. But I found that people also don't think they have the capacity, the capability to believe. And when I was thinking about how to start this, faith series, because all the Word of God should produce faith in our lives. But this Living in Faith series, this is what came to me, and this thought's never come to me. A lot of people think they don't have faith, that they don't have the capability. I just can't believe. I can't believe that. And so when I was thinking along this line, God just wanted to blow that lie right out of the water this morning for somebody. And he gave me this one simple line of thinking. Are you a Christian? Okay, if you're not, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, if you've accepted Jesus as Lord, you've already done the impossible. You've already believed the impossible, folks. Think about it. You believed that there's a God. You can't see him. You might not have heard him. You believe he had a son that he sent to the earth through a virgin birth. Scientifically impossible. You believe that he came here, suffered, and died for you, who wasn't even born yet. Impossible. You believe that he died on a cross, was buried for 3 days, dead. And that this power came from heaven, entered into the heart of the earth, resurrected him, and that he walked among men. Impossible. Naturally impossible. You've believed that. That's faith.
That's right.
Amen. You've already operated in the impossible. And from that, your dead spirit, your dark, dead, not enlightened spirit came to life. And it didn't come to life for no reason, Miss Betty. It came to life so you could live connected to God, and it gave you the capability, the capacity, if you will, to believe.
Yeah.
Not just be saved from hell. I know I say this every time I'm up here, but it irritates me that there are Christians living just, and I know it's a big deal to be saved from hell. I'm not making light of it. But only saved from hell. They're not doing anything to grow the kingdom. They're not living in the promises that God has already promised and provided for them. They're suffering. They're living under whatever life throws at them. They're not having any victory in their lives unless they get lucky, they think. But they're sure not using their faith because they don't think that they have any, but yet they've already had the most supernatural event that could possibly happen in their lives. They've already had it happen. I thought, how simple, how precious of God to say, look, you've already operated in faith. That's the beginning. Because he's about to do abundantly above, supernaturally surpassing all you could ask or think, if you will believe. This isn't going to get all said today, so don't come to me and say you should have covered such and such a verse, because from Genesis to Revelation, it is about you living the life that God, under the gifts, the talents, the abilities, all the things that he has for the kingdom of God, for the world through you. Let's not just sit here on a pew. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to cover a lot of scripture today. Hi, balcony dwellers. Ephesians 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Are you there?
Yes.
Are you close?
Yes.
Okay. We believe in our Bibles around here. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That's the way you lived. Walked. He's talking about your daily life. You lived in, you were dead in the trespasses and your sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's where we were, Josh. We thought we were just doing what was normal, but what was normal in the world, he calls following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience. That's that rebellious, ain't gonna do it, zoning out attitude. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. You think he's fixing to tell us we're not supposed to be like the rest of mankind? Do you think he's fixing to tell us that we're not supposed to live by the passions of our flesh? Do you think he's fixing to tell us that we're not by nature now the children of wrath? But God, verse 4. Don't you love that word, but God? I mean, I know there's t-shirts, plaques. It's true. But God, he's fixing to turn this thing around. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love that he has for you, even when you were dead in your trespasses, he made you alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Saved looks different. Saved looks different than ran over. And look, salvation does not exclude life happening around us. There's going to be tough things. You can look at Jesus. He went through tough things and he was perfect. I'm not perfect. There's probably going to be some tough things, but saved is a good word because I needed saved. And I'm not talking about just from hell. I'm talking about I need saved from my own brain. I needed saved from my way of thinking. I needed saved from my past. I needed saved from my sin. I needed saved from my wounds. By grace, Susan's been saved. And if you don't go through here and put your name in here and see it as personal, it'll never have power in your life. You can sit here and listen to me read it and say, oh, that's glorious. But until you say, Robbie, by grace, you have been saved. When you start putting your name, the scripture will come to life to you and you will actually want to pick up your Bible and read it. Because it will start changing how you see yourself. And I love that one song that we were singing, and it said something like, it was the one about promises. I will see it come to pass. Well, here's the thing about faith. When we see a promise and we see it come to pass, we see it come to pass by faith before we ever see it come to pass in the natural. And until you see yourself in the promise and see yourself eligible and capable of receiving the promise by righteousness and by faith, you will never walk in it. So to see it is important. By grace, you have been saved. And you have been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We got to do a whole series on in Christ sometime. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards you in Christ Jesus. You know why he keeps saying in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus? Because it's not because you deserved it, but you receive it in Christ. Jesus made you eligible to receive what the Father has for us. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is no longer the only Son of God. He's the Son of God, but he's no longer the only Son of God. Because now he is the firstborn, born again among many brethren. And that means if we're joint heirs with him. It's not split up between us. Jesus gets this portion, I get this. We are joint heirs with him. What belongs to Jesus, because Jesus was willing to come for you, he wanted his family to receive the same inheritance that he was eligible for. That means if there is sickness in your body this morning, you tell it to get out. Because Jesus isn't sick. Healing flowed through his body. Healing flows through your body. That takes faith to receive it. But why not start believing God that you are eligible to receive it? I can tell John's been up here because the anointing of preach is on me this morning. Didn't he? Man, those were good services. I watch even when I'm chasing grandkids around the country. So that in the ages to come, the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You used your faith to get saved. You're capable of using faith. You've already done it. Don't stop there. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Let me tell you, God, of course, grace is the gift of God towards us, but also faith. He made a way for us to overcome. He gave us this way called faith. He provided that way for us. And we'll go to Romans. We'll probably get there today. But faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word. So if you need faith, you just need to hear the word. And I don't mean just hear it, like audibly hear it. I mean you need to get a hold of it. And I think this is where the Christian world is weak. We think we can turn on a podcast or we can have an app read to us the Word of God and that's building our faith. It will if you take it and let it become revelation knowledge to you. Not head knowledge, but when it starts changing how you see things, and it starts changing how you say things, and it starts changing how you do things, and it starts changing how you feel things, and you... But you have to hear to get there. You know what? You heard about Jesus. You may have heard about Jesus several times. Your neighbor may have picked you up and taken you to VBS as a child. And until you heard about Jesus, or until people ministered to you about Jesus, until you picked up that Gideon Bible in the hotel room, I've heard lots of people getting saved that way, and you hear about Jesus, and something clicks on the inside of you, you may have to hear more than once. I can promise you, you're going to have to hear more than once. And we could go to examples in the scripture. You know, I think about the woman with the issue of blood. She was at home. She couldn't get out. She'd been to every doctor. They couldn't help her. She'd spent everything she had trying to get better. But when she had heard of Jesus, you know, they weren't just hollering out Jesus' name, laying out in the streets with all their sick people because he had a name tag on. They had heard. And they had heard. And they had hope. You know, that healer. Isn't his dad a carpenter? You know, but they heard and they heard and they heard and they kept hearing, and it sparked their interest. When something, you're reading something in the scripture and it sparks your interest, get ready. God wants you to have faith for it. Don't stop at having heard. Faith comes by. The more you hear, the more you get the message that's behind the word. Right? That's what you're after. The rhema, the message behind the word. That's not in my notes, but praise God. This is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, this is a biggie when you're dealing with faith. When it says not of works, it doesn't want, what he's saying is he doesn't want you to go off your own righteousness, off your own doing. But he may have you do something. So when you say it's not of works, we're talking about not going back to the ways of the law on having to be perfect or having to wash, you know, go through the rituals. We're talking about, it, you know, God may tell you to start eating something or to stop eating something that will change something in your body.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly right.
Obedience is not a dirty word. There's when we were going through the trial over Wade's death, well, not through the trial, through the 11 years of you know, stuff. In the legal system, God told me to get fit for the fight. And that's when I started working out. You know what? I know God was protecting me, not just physically, but mentally. He was releasing chemicals in my brain through working out because he knew I needed it. I mean, we're not talking about not doing anything. We're talking about not relying on our own efforts when it comes to faith. So please know the difference there. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he didn't just save me to save me from the flames of hell. He has a plan for me. He has good works. And God prepared those things for me beforehand that I should walk in them. He wants me to live it out. That's going to take me doing something other than just sitting on a pew. I've got to start digging into his word. I've got to start letting him renew my mind. Romans 12, let him renew my mind to his way of thinking. And so God has these things he wants you to walk in. He wants you to live in. Because you're his workmanship, you're created in Christ Jesus, you're created for good works, he's prepared for them that you could walk in them, and you think you don't have faith for that. But he's given you the capability, the capacity to have faith for that. We just got to renew our minds. I'm going to read verse 8 and 9 out of the King James Version. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You believe that God's Son Jesus came to the earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died for you before you were ever born. Was in the heart of the earth 3 days, was raised again, and came back to life. When you heard the good news about that, when you heard the gospel about Jesus, something went off in your heart. You felt a nudge, and you believed. And when you believed, you made a move. I don't know where you were when that happened for you. How many of you got saved in church? Oh, perhaps we need to be inviting people to church. I want to say that again. How many of you got saved in church? Perhaps we need to be inviting that heathen that you think is so horrible and lives such a horrible life and who is suffering with their own mental health and their own life, and yet you won't talk to them about Jesus because you're afraid they won't like it. Perhaps you need to invite them to church. Perhaps you need to tell them the gospel anyway.
Yeah, that's good. Come on.
At least live it and talk it in front of them if they refuse to let you talk to them personally. Did you know that we have had people stop and come to this church just because your cars are out there, and when they saw you coming in the building, you looked happy? We literally had a girl walk in these doors. I think she had broken, if I remember right, she had broken flip-flops. She started not to come, and the usher said, just come on anyway, just take your shoes off. You know, they stopped because every time they lived where they had to pass by this church, and when they would pass by, they saw you and you were happy. You were preaching the gospel.
Right.
Now, sometimes it takes words. You made a move. You either raised your hand and prayed a prayer. You either knelt where you were. You said with your mouth that you wanted to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You told somebody you got saved. You did something. That takes faith. That takes faith. You've already walked in faith. God put in you the capacity and the capability to have faith. You've already believed the impossible. And yes, it is a fact that some people hear the truth and refuse to believe. Some people refuse to believe. But I want you to hear what we just said. They have to refuse it. Do you hear that? They have to refuse it. You want to know why the atheist is so hardcore? We deal with some. We have some family members in Rusty's family that proclaim to be atheist. We've seen one come to Christ. Amen. Y'all are not near as excited about that as I am, but y'all, you don't know him. I'm talking about upside down crucifixes tattooed on his body, FU on his knuckles, and
praise God. Yeah.
We got one more to go. If y'all want his name, ask for it after church. We'll gang up on him. Man, his mama, Rusty's mama's prayed for that boy. They have to refuse to believe. But the point is, they have to refuse to believe it because they were made to believe. You can take any tribe anywhere on the earth, and they're going to be worshiping something because they're made to worship. So just give them what they're really hungry for. Just tell them what they're really... Don't give them a bunch of religious junk. That's why people are turned off. Because somebody told them God killed their baby. Well, you better not preach that around here. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. That's the word of faith that we preach. God didn't cause that tornado to take your house. That is not an act of God. That is an act of nature. And if a believer would have got out there and told that tornado to get back up in that sky, we've done it. We've seen it happen. I don't think we'd been dating very long when that happened. He married me anyway. I'm not telling you to do something stupid. I'm telling you walk in the authority, but it takes faith to do that. You have authority of where your house is. The atheist is so belligerent because they have to fight not to believe. They must harden their hearts. They must fight against what's nudging on the inside of them. That's why they can't just not believe and stay silent. They have to fight. They have to fight you. They have to come against Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A. They hate Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A. Why? Just let the women shop. Just let them go. Let us go shop. No, they have to fight it. They have to fight our organizations that protect the unborn child in the womb. They have to fight that. They hate it. Let us kill the babies. Why? Because they have to desensitize. But just know this, when you're dealing with them, they're fighting it because they have to fight it. Because there's something in them that says, this is true. But they don't know what to do if it's true. And they've heard a lot of lies. And you can confront lies graciously. Because of our situation, I deal with a lot of parents that have lost children. And it's a very sensitive subject. And many of them think that God had a plan. But they kind of forget to read the whole part of Jeremiah 29:11, that part about a future and a hope. And that plan's being good. They just pick out, you got it on your Bible. Good job, Sam. And they just pick out that part. God had a plan. God must have had a plan, for Wade. Well, of course he did. Long life, right? So when somebody comes to you and they're hurting, this is not my notes there again, but if they come to you and they're hurting and they're angry, look, if they're an atheist, they're angry. If they're a Christian who's angry, somewhere there's a lie that's driving their soul. You got to pick up by the Holy Spirit what that is, and you can graciously say, what I typically say, if somebody comes to me and says, well, bless your heart for losing your son, I know God had a plan. Well, I had to learn to, okay, they're believing a lie. And I have to say, let me tell you, I see that a little different. When I found John 10:10, that really ministers to me. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You think God's the thief? You think he steals, kills, and destroys? See, if you come and just leave it. Yeah. Unless they'll either ask questions and you get to answer them, or the Holy Spirit will send somebody else by. They'll go in over at Hippie Palace and there'll be Josh and Vanna just waiting on them. Just waiting on him out there strumming his little guitar, looking all innocent and little hippie hair slinging around in the wind. They don't know they just walked in the palace of God.
Praise God.
And then Vanna be waiting back there all just loving those women that are coming in. And then those kids, get a clue. Have you heard their kids' names? Grace, Gracie, Enoch. I mean, you know, they're all biblical names. You walk in, you're reading the Bible. See, we don't have to go, you don't know what you're talking about. We can respond in a way that plants a seed that starts to soften the hardened soul to where it's ready to receive. They have the ability, they have the capacity to believe. God put it in them, but they've hardened their hearts. We were made to walk by faith. Are you ready to stretch your thinking a little bit? Amen. Go with me to Hebrews 11. We're not going where you think we're going, so just skip on down to verse 5. We'll deal with Hebrews 11:1. We'll deal with the first part of Hebrews later in another session. Today we're just talking about God giving us the capability and the capacity. Because this year, we've made it all about growing exponentially. I mean, y'all are so, man, you're putting to work the word of God in your life. It's beautiful to watch. Hebrews 11, go on down to verse 5. Well, here we go. Here's one of Josh's kids' names already. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Enoch didn't see death. God just beamed him up. He just beamed him up. You know why? And he had this testimony that he pleased God, or that he walked with God. I think the King James Version said he walked with God and was not. Like he was walking with God and then just was walking with God. That's the way the believer dies. I mean, I realize our bodies died, Enoch's didn't, and there's a reason, there's types and shadows and different things of reasons why. But we never taste death. The scripture says Jesus tasted death for every man. So when our bodies quit, we're just walking with God. Amen. That's not today's message, but it's still good. Amen. This is what I want you to get. I'm talking about he walked with God, he pleased God, but without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please him. That doesn't mean that God's just up there grumpy and displeased with you. It means he wants you to receive what he has for you, and it pleases him. When you trust him, it pleases him. When you believe him, it pleases him. When you walk out what he provided for you, it pleases him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's how you got saved. And that, are you ready for the and that? Yes. Let me just start back at the beginning because it's too good. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Whoo! Oh, what? That doesn't sit well in very many churches. And is an important word here. For they that cometh to God must believe that he is, and they must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God's not done after you get saved. He's not done after you came down front and confessed Jesus as Lord. He's here for the and that. His word works just as well at the and that as it did you accepting Jesus as Lord. He doesn't separate the two. He connects them. You know, if I had to define faith, I grew up in the faith movement, if you want to call it that. And so we heard a lot of definitions about faith. So I just went to the Strong's, I went to Thayer's, I went to the Greek lexicons, and I just looked up simple words just to give you some words. Faith is reliance on. Faith is persuasion. Persuasion was the Strong's first word. Remember we talked about, when he talked about Abraham, he said he was fully persuaded. Faith is being fully persuaded. It's trust. And I love, I can't remember if it was Thayer's or Brown's, whose it was that put trust in there. But I love that word trust. Because it's one thing to believe that God provided something. It's another thing for us to trust him with that in our lives. Trust is a huge word. It's a beautiful word to me. He wants us to trust him. And also another word that was there that's so simple is believing. It's believing. So when we talk about faith, don't see this far out space thing. It's trusting him. It's believing his word to the point of trusting his word. And that first act of faith to accept Christ, that was the beginning of your life of faith. It was a miracle. You started off with a miracle. You hear me? You started off with a miracle. Oh, I could never believe for a miracle. You started off with a miracle. You were born again. You remember, was it Nicodemus that said, you want me to re-enter my mother's womb? Jesus said, no, I'm talking about being born again. Except a man be born again. It's a miracle. You started off with a miracle. Your faith started off with a miracle. If you could believe everything that we've talked about that Jesus did for you, what made us not be able to believe that he healed us? What made us not be able to believe that he would provide for us? What made us not be able to believe that he would give us a thought of wisdom, instruction, give us our next step? What? I'm asking a question. What made us think we could not believe for that? Feel free to answer. Religion. Thank you. Was that Nan? Star pupil. Religion is what we fight against all the time. I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm talking about religious jargon. Deception. Things that oppose the word of God. And faith comes by hearing, but fear also comes by hearing. Disbelief also comes by hearing. Well, and I've heard this. If they couldn't receive their healing, I sure can't receive mine because they were a saint. That ought to turn your stomach. Nothing against the other person, right? Nothing against the other person. That's their faith in God, their relationship with God. That's between them and God, is what I'm trying to say. We have to go by the word of God. Another thing that makes us not believe and not use our faith is our circumstances. Because we had this happen. Do you know I still pray protection over my earthling children? My children that are still here on earth, even though I have a son in heaven? You know why? Because when that happened, we had to make a choice. And I looked at Rusty and I said, either we believe this or we don't. Because we had people in this church question us. How could this happen to you? And if you did, that's okay, because I can handle it. Let me tell you how I can handle it. I could give you lots of explanations of why. But this is what I know. The time came, we had to make the choice. Either we believe this or we don't. And if we start cutting out passages of Scripture because of our circumstances, I promise you Satan will see to it that you cut out the whole thing. The revelation that we received during that time period was this. We do not judge the Word of God by our circumstances. We judge our circumstances by the Word of God, and we can never do it any other way and live in faith. So you learn that from us and save yourself a lot of heartache, because the day you start blaming God and you give up on faith, you are game for anything this world throws at you, and you'll never have a way to overcome. That is not how we were created to live. That is not what we were saved for. Man. Let's go to Romans 1. If you haven't read the book of Romans lately, I want to encourage you to do so. Romans 1, I'm reading out of the King James Version. I'm going to scroll down to verse 15. So as much as in me is, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, I am ready to preach the gospel. Gospel means the good news. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. We got to get there, folks. We're not ashamed of the good news, the gospel. The world will try to silence you. They'll try to combat it. But I want you to listen to why we have to keep preaching. We have to be ready to tell the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So if we're silenced, there's no power for them to be saved. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, that's dunamis, that's the miraculous power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How beautiful is our God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live. It is how we live. Amen. It is what we live by. Let's read this verse from the ESV. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. Oh man, I like that. For in it the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I looked that word revealed up, and it means take the lid off. Oh, you're fixing to open up something right here. That's what he's saying. For in the righteousness of God, which we've been studying for weeks, that should have taken the lid off. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. You know what righteousness did? It puts you in a mental state of being able to say, I can receive this from you, God. It took the lid off. The righteous shall live by faith. The same phrase, live by faith, is used in Galatians 3:11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, talking about the law of Moses, for the righteous shall live by faith. We accepted Christ by faith, not by works. Hebrews 10:38, but my righteous one shall live by faith. For if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who have faith and preserve our souls. Boom. That's good. That's good. It's faith that causes us to overcome. It's what we believe. I put this in my notes because I felt like, I mean, it's just one of those things where you're just sitting there and God said, to say it. This is what your soul's been searching for. It's what your soul's been searching for. It's the strength that you need for your mind. It's your mental health. Trusting Him. Stop the whirlwind that goes on in your head of how you're going to do this, what's going to happen, how God's going to fix this. And every now and then throughout the day, I'll catch myself saying, I trust you. If He tells me to do something, I'm going to be obedient to do it. But sometimes it comes down to, I trust you. I trust you. It's what your soul's searching for. I'm telling you, it needs that anchor. We quoted this at the beginning. I'll give you the passage for it. 1 John 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. We read that. What does that look like in life, Ken? What does that look like as a used car salesman? What does that look like as a teacher? What does that look like as a nurse? What does that look like at whatever Wes does on his computer? What does that look like to a man who owns coffee shops? What does that look like to the electrician? What does that look like to the man working at A&O? What does that look like to our Marine, my favorite Marine? Sorry to any other Marines in the room, but Bob's my favorite. What does that look like? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. That ought to put a little pep in my step. As a mother, as a grandmother. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Oh, there's a little bit more about what it's supposed to look like. It's that love thing again, isn't it? By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. I just can't win for losing. You got to quit saying those things. You know, part of our responsibility, and we'll get into this in another session, but part of our responsibility of Him giving us the grace to be able to believe and Him giving us that capacity in us to have faith is for us to align our words and thinking with His and not come against God. Because when I speak things that are against what He said, I'm X-ing it out of my life. I'm saying, no, thank you. I know who I am. I'm a loser. I mean, we don't say it that plain, but we do. This is what we need to be saying. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. He didn't make us survivors. He made us, the scripture calls us more than conquerors. What's more than a conqueror? That means you look good when you come out of the battle. You don't look like you've been killed. The walking dead, because you've been through some struggle in life and you just look like the walking dead. No, we're more than conquerors. I'm not asking you to fake it. I'm asking you to hold the truth on the inside of you and let it work its way out. And this, listen to this, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You know what? He didn't give us a whole list of things right there. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you qualify for this right here because that's the only thing he put. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you're banking on anything else, you bring it right back to this truth right here. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that ought to take me places that my natural life could never take me. It ought to hold my mind in a place of mental health that I could, that my past, that therapy, that nothing could get me to. Do you see how believing in Jesus and relying on his works instead of our own works should take the lid off and should take me from faith to faith? Should cause me to begin to walk out? Man. I guess John left me a gift. Cough drop, John. Romans 10, let's go there. Because before we leave here today, I've got to make sure, the Holy Spirit wants us to make sure, that you know what a gift God gave us in making it simple for us to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord. Walking it out may not always be that simple, but he'll help us, right? And I ask, I think I put it in your notes, I put a question out at the end of your notes. Where do I need to develop my faith? Where am I lacking faith? Where am I struggling mentally in being able to receive something from God? You can know that, but let's know it and target it. Like this week, make it your homework. If you struggle in an area of insecurity, or you struggle in an area when it comes to your health or your mental health, go online and Google what scriptures, if you don't know where to find them. Go to the back of your Bible. There should be a little concordance back there. Look up some different words and see if you can find something for you to stand on. Hey, the more scriptures, the better. But if you can find one, lots of fire on the inside of you, and that your spirit goes, oh, that's good. I need that. Then take it and pick it apart and eat it. I mean, eat it. Live off of it. Let it be your daily bread and hit that area of your life. And let's see some growth instead of just saying, I've never been able to receive my healing. Well, attack it like you want it. Like it's yours, and somebody tried to steal it. Because that's what happened. Because it's yours. Your health is yours. It's paid for. And if somebody steals something from me, I'm going to get it. Romans 10. I'm going to take the time and start in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. By the way, that also needs to be your prayer. Amen. New Testament, I just read it. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant, what are they ignorant of? Of God's righteousness. See, they're going off works. We have to be careful. We'll do the same thing. That's what religion will push us towards. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Everybody just say, I submit myself to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I believe. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. There is a connection between your heart and your mouth. Amen. And your mouth and your heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you want something in your heart, speak it. Speak it until it comes out your mouth naturally, and then you'll know what's in your heart. Yeah. We'll talk about that another time. We'll probably spend a whole service on it. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means evoking him as Lord. You want him as your Lord. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's a good day. That's a good day. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, parentheses, evoking him as Lord, shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? He's asking us questions here. I think he asked us four. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's not talking about me, the preacher. That's talking about you, the proclaimer. It's all of us. Without someone, preacher just means proclaimer. How are they going to know if nobody's proclaiming? How can they have faith for what they have not heard? How shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a proclaimer or a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You're sent. There you go. I'm sending you. I want you to go out and somehow, in some way, share some good news with somebody this week. The grumpy person, the grippy person, the hateful person, the lovely person. Don't just think because they're lovely that they're saved. Amen. There's people in churches that have not confessed Jesus as Lord. You're sent. Jesus did the Great Commission thing, right? Go ye therefore. If you need to be sent, I'm sending you. As your pastor, I'm sending you. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written. Y'all want pretty feet? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. Some of y'all need to be preaching some good news. Get some good feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Oh, that's not the gospel that's been preached a lot of times. It's been the gospel of condemnation. Now, correction's great. Conviction's great. But religion has turned on humanity and made them feel hated, made them feel unseen by God, made them feel undeserving, made them feel anything but come into the kingdom. And so if you want this to be the beautiful gospel and you want faith to come to these people, then he tells us the attitude in which we come. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Don't join the gripe session at work. I'll have to remind myself this week, I'm sure, but we have to remind ourselves the glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? I mean, the prophet was telling the truth, but who believed it? You ready? Verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the content of the message. Oh man, I think we're going to stop right there, because he goes on into different things with Israel there. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to say, hear it until you really have heard it. Hear it until you can preach it. Hear it until you can tell it. And you know what? You don't have to know everything. But when you can look at somebody with a tear in your eye or a smile on your face, either one, and say, let me tell you what God showed me. Let me tell you how God got me through this. And you can minister peace to them. That's beautiful. And faith will come. And they will have to refuse it to not accept it. So it's kind of a twofold message, us receiving and also helping other people receive. We're going to enjoy this study. It's going to grow us. It's going to condition us, not just to where we can receive, but it's hard to give what you haven't received. And so when we begin to live this faith life out, then I believe it's going to draw others into the kingdom. Amen.